Welcome to this week's edition of the St. Paul Podcast. I'm Peter Marty, Senior Pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church, located in the heart of Davenport, Iowa. Right here each week, you can hear a message to inspire your walk with God and hear beautiful music to fill your life. Let this podcast be your occasion to contemplate some of the deepest things in life, just as I hope it helps faith come alive for you.
Hello, and welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Max, and this week our message comes from the second chapter of John's Gospel. This story is action-packed and starts with an angry Jesus who turns over the money changers' tables, and even whips the animals being sold there, chasing them out of the temple. Jesus is at the temple in Jerusalem with hundreds of thousands of other Jewish people who travel there yearly to celebrate the Passover. Only this time, with Jesus on the scene, the people are dumbfounded when he destroys the temple's marketplace, insisting that the temple is no longer the exclusive dwelling place for God. But instead, this temple and dwelling place for God is within his very own body. Today, listeners, I'm encouraged by this message from Jesus, which points us to the reality that God's presence is no longer confined to any one place or structure, like a church building. Instead, God is both inside and outside any of these places and is on the move, working to guide, encourage, and renew this world, because the place where God's Spirit dwells is in us, in our bodies, which we take everywhere we go. And the gift of worship is that we become more connected with God when we hear God's Word, sing hymns, and pray together as a community of faith. This activity of worship launches us out into our daily lives with the gift of more easily detecting God's presence in our everyday lives on those days beyond just an hour during Sunday morning. So be on the lookout this week for the temples you encounter out in the world, and be kind to yourselves, knowing that you too are a dwelling place for God's Spirit of grace and mercy. The scripture reading comes from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal, for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. And now, a few thoughts on John chapter 2. This cleansing of the temple scene has been a popular one in movies that depict the Gospels, and it has likely been given a lot of attention because besides the crucifixion, it's one of the only stories we might think of as being an action scene. Most of the time, Jesus is found preaching, teaching, healing, and feeding people, all of which are great, of course, but those scenes don't provide quite the same dramatic or entertainment effect that the driving of the money changers or Jesus whipping people out of the temple does. I, for one, have been captivated by this scene because it seems a little out of character for Jesus to become angry and use physical, yet mild violence to meet his goals. This whip-wielding Jesus is not the gentle Jesus we often learned about in Sunday school. However, John doesn't share this story either to quench our thirst for an action-packed story or to overturn our image of a gentle, kind, and loving Jesus. Instead, he shares it because he wants to make one very clear and one very important point. Jesus is on the scene, and there's no more need, therefore, for temple sacrifices. This particular story shows up in all four of the Gospels. In Mark, it happens in the 11th chapter, in Luke, the 19th, and in Matthew, the 21st. Yet here in John's Gospel, it's right there at the beginning, in the 2nd chapter. So why is that? Well, each gospel has its own distinct focus. The gospels are less of a play-by-play news story, so to speak, and much more centered around revealing the depths of what God was up to in the life of Jesus from different perspectives, with different emphases. So when you spot differences among the gospels, it's like getting little clues into what each gospel writer might be trying to emphasize. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels, they make the temple scene, this scene, Jesus' big finale, leading to his arrest and the crucifixion and the drama that comes with that scene. But John, he uses this same scene to announce the start of a new era, and so he places it at the very beginning, the story of Jesus' ministry. And not only is the placement of this story different in John's gospel than in the other three, but so is the accusation that Jesus throws at the money changers and the merchants. In the other gospels, Jesus calls these people thieves and robbers, accusing them of preying on the poor. And yet from John's perspective, Jesus accuses these merchants and money changers of making the temple, which is the dwelling place for God, into a marketplace, which it was. And it had to be, because travelers from all over the area, from all over the region, would come to Jerusalem at that time of year to celebrate the religious festival
of Passover, and they needed to buy animals that they would sacrifice to God so that God would forgive their sins and pour out grace upon grace for them and their lives. So when Jesus drives the animals out of the temple, overturns the tables of the money changers, and demands the end of the buying and selling that's happening in the temple, he's announcing the end of this cultic way of relating to God. Instead, as John writes in the opening verses of his gospel, Jesus invites us to experience God's grace upon grace through our faith in him. There's no need for changing money or purchasing animals or making sacrifices at all or ever again. When the temple, this temple in Jerusalem, was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70, it would have been a crushing thing for many Jewish people, among whom were some of Jesus' followers who grew up Jewish, going to Jerusalem for the Passover regularly. God's dwelling place, the temple, it was in ruin at this point. And for John's gospel, for his account, the assurance that this story provides for us and surely for those early Christians at the time, was that Jesus' presence and all that comes with it, his grace, his love, his mercy, his guidance would be available to them outside rather than inside the temple. Some of you may know this about me, some of you may not, but I grew up in the Catholic Church, and as some of you here probably did as well, perhaps you can relate. I was baptized, received First Communion, and took confirmation at a Catholic parish. And I remember as a young boy sensing God's presence in profound ways when I was just in the church building, even when it wasn't for Mass on Sundays. Sometimes on a Wednesday night, I'd light a prayer candle after confirmation as I waited for my ride. I would kneel in a pew and pray and chat with God. And in those moments, often, it was as if God was kneeling right beside me. During Mass on Sundays, communion sent chills down my spine more often than not. God, for me, was in the building, inside of those walls, in that space, so clearly. And yet, I remember finding it frustrating that once I would leave the building, I felt like God's presence stayed in it. I'd go the entire week and maybe think of God once or twice, but even then, whether at night before bed or during the routine prayer before dinner, I didn't often sense God's presence like I did at church. I regularly and dutifully, mechanically hopped from word to word during my prayers, completing my pre-dinner prayer, so that I could devour the meatloaf on my plate. It wasn't until I got invited by some friends to attend a youth ministry event at a local Lutheran church that I began to experience God's presence differently. One of the youth leaders led a lesson one evening which taught us why God's presence was just as available to us outside of the church building as it was inside, and why that was so important for our lives of faith. After this lesson, I felt chills again, and that night, when I left the building, the chills remained. God came home with me. My mom doesn't let me forget this story because I told her the minute I got home. She shares it like this. I said something to the effect of, "Mom, did you know that God is with me just the same as God is when I'm at church praying?" And I'm not 100% sure, but I think the Bible text that that leader in the Lutheran church for that youth ministry event used for the teaching was from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, if you're counting. I'll read it today for you from the Message translation. Paul writes, "You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God, and that God's Spirit is within you? That day at the temple, when Jesus is turning over tables and whipping animals in this marketplace that's been made in God's dwelling house, Jesus pointed out that his body is the temple, the dwelling place of God. And Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians, so are we, so are our bodies. And sometimes, without realizing it even, I think we can get into the habit, and maybe all of us here do sometimes, of thinking of church, thinking of this building and this place, as a place where we go to have an experience of God, or as a place where we go to receive spiritual goods, like a marketplace, for an hour or two every week, and then leave and go back into a world where our detection of God's presence is so easily distracted by all the things grabbing at our attention. Unbeknownst to ourselves, we leave God in the building when we drive away. It's so easy to do this, and I'm indeed guilty of it. And please don't get me wrong here. I think worship is incredibly essential for a strong faith life. Everything we do in this space, from singing hymns, putting our phones on silent and out of reach, keeping the rituals that we have and the communion that we take and the sharing of the peace, it all points us away from our main culprits of distraction and gives us a glimpse of God's presence together beyond what most other places can afford us. But what if instead of thinking of church as the place where we go to experience God once a week, we instead imagine it as a place where we're equipped and learn to experience God's presence and detect God's presence so that throughout the rest of the week it becomes easier for us. Places where one experiences God have been called many different things: holy spaces, thin places, temples. And the good news that we have from John today is that in Christ Jesus, that our bodies are temples, dwelling places for God, and these bodies we get to carry around wherever we go. Whether we go to church or Hy-Vee, or when we're changing diapers, when things are going well in our lives, or when our lives are wrought with a real sense of worry or fear. In all these places, physical and spiritual, God is present. But like the scent of a beautiful flower, even if it's in front of our face, we can't detect its amazing fragrance if our noses are clogged up. If we're clogged up with distractions or self-inflicted negative thoughts, when we do this, we miss the scent of God's unconditional love, the presence of God in front of us and around us and within us. I think when we do these things, especially during Lent, we have a chance to look at them, take note, and find ways to reconnect with God. When we have self-inflicted thoughts of negativity or think poorly about ourselves, that often gets passed on to others in our lives. And even in the most seemingly mundane or challenging circumstances, we know that God is available. And God loves us so much that God put skin on and died for us. And God and Jesus shows us this parental heart of God, this invisible God that's visible. And that love and grace that we have and continue to experience in church and out in the world has transformed and sustained lives and continues to do so inside of these walls and outside of them. I wanted to end with a brief quote here. Thomas Keating was an incredibly influential Catholic monk. He was a mystic and a graduate of Yale, among other places. He authored many books, many of which revolved around developing a keener awareness of God's presence. There are many sayings and quotes he shares about God's presence, and I'd like to get at this one here. Keating says, "We rarely think of the air we breathe, yet it is in us and around us all the time. In similar fashion, the presence of God penetrates us, is all around us, is always embracing us." And so it is too for us gathered inside these walls today as we experience God through worship. And when we're sent outside these walls to start our week, my prayer is that because of this place, we might better sense God in those moments you or I are tempted to think of as ordinary: your office, your school, your bedroom, your car, your valleys, or your spiritual deserts. God's Spirit dwells inside you as surely as the air moving in your lungs and the wind blowing across your face. Amen.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul,
Let's pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Listeners, my hope and my prayer is that because of your time in worship on this podcast, that this week you go out into the world and more easily and readily experience God in the people and the places that you encounter. The grocery store, your office, your car, or out walking in the park. Because your body, and the bodies of others, is where God truly dwells, and sometimes, oftentimes, we miss the scent of God's fragrance when it's right in front of our noses. Amen.
I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and thanks for your support of the ministries of St. Paul Lutheran Church. Our commitment to projects that lend hope to other people stretches across the country and around the world. We hope that in a good way you feel a part of that reach. Tune in next Thursday for another edition of the St. Paul Podcast.